C-168 Development of the Christian Science Idea from 1866 to 1986. Number 1A.
Now we come to the third part of this week's work, and that third part is under the title of the development of the Christian Science Idea since 1866. So we are considering really the development of the Christian Science Idea and give a history of that development. It will be in three parts. First part will be the development of the Christian Science Idea during Mrs. Eddy's time. Then the second part will be from Mrs. Eddy's time to the life of John Dawley up to 1950 when he left us. And the third part will be the post-Dawley period, therefore from 1950 up to now. So today I'm going first to devote myself to that first part, namely to the development of the Christian Science Idea since 1866 up to 1910. In the course of these talks, I'm sure I'm going to give some wrong numbers of the years. I'm sure you will notice that it should be corrected the way it is meant. Now, where do we find the history of the Christian Science Idea during Mrs. Eddy's time? Certainly not in the biographies on Mary Baker Eddy. All those biographies that are already numberless, they all talk about the person of Mrs. Eddy, about her work in the field, in the church. It's a history of the church organization, etc. But what I want to present to you is that which lies behind everything, namely the idea that was moving behind the scene, the spiritual idea that was forcing a gradual development of the idea. It shows that really life, truth, and love was impelling constantly Mrs. Eddy to present Christian Science in a constant, forward, progressive going order, and we will see that order was following the word order, because being itself cannot evolve in any other way but through the word order, through the logos. So we want to see how we can trace that in that which is representing the idea of Christian Science, namely the textbook, and not so much Mrs. Eddy. Naturally, if we take the textbook in its various main revisions and consider the whole textbook and compare revision after revision, then we must have a standard according to which we can really analyze those various revisions. And the standard that we take is the last edition of Science and Health. That was her climax, to bring out the textbook in its final form, and now we can compare and measure along that standard what the individual steps were and how we can evaluate them as they were unfolding through the revisions of Science and Health. Now today, where we know the structure of the textbook, we can really do that job. Before we knew the structure of the textbook, it would have been impossible, really, to define what were the individual steps, spiritual steps, that were taken by bringing out the various editions. So we are comparing one main edition with the next main edition, and the very first thing that we are aware of is that the first edition has practically no similarity anymore with the last edition. which shows that Mrs. Eddy had undergone a great revelation that was not the revelation of just one moment and then that was it, but the revelation that was able to unfold and unfold and to evolve until it really found its clear statement in the last textbook. Whereas the first edition had only 8 chapters, the last edition has 18 chapters. Already number-wise you can see that there is a great difference between the first and last edition. Only 4 titles of the chapter of the first edition are left over in the last edition. All the other titles were changed. Here again you can see that there is a development. This I want to bring out as a very first point, that there was a development, so as to get rid, really, of that aspect that we feel that in the first edition of Science and Health was already everything laid down that constitute the science of Christian Science. There is an order of development. It is not just a changing of the text, but what is more interesting about those changes of the text is that we see that the tonality of the changes are following the word order of mind, spirit, soul, principle, life, truth, and love. So that every new main revision of the textbook is bringing out more the tonality of another synonymous term. That does not mean that the succeeding revisions would drop everything that was in the preceding revisions or main edition, but it wants to show that the accent would change from one synonymous term to the other synonymous term in the word order until finally you have the full word order. The full word order in the 7 main editions. We could ask ourselves, why should we understand this development? Is it not enough to take the last edition and study the last edition, of which Mrs. Eddy herself has said we should study the last edition, and that last edition should be the standard for our self-instruction? So why bother about the preceding editions? Well, there is an answer to it. The answer is that we can understand something in any science much better when we know the history that led up to a certain point. Just as in physics or in biology, it is interesting and it's even necessary to know the history of these fields in order to understand the present status of things. Mrs. Eddy has said that Christian Science and Christian scientists must have a history, and she also said to somebody asking her for a good practitioner, take somebody who knows Christian Science history. So she too saw that it is necessary to be able to see the steps that have been taken spiritually to arrive at the point where one is today. So with the changing of edition to edition in a definite order, we can also see in a parallel way that that also changes our life attitude. It is not just that it is an academic subject to see that one edition had the tone of mind, that the other tone of spirit, and so the other of soul, but that it involved in Mrs. Eddy's life and in our life also a great transformation, and that always takes time. That transformation in life cannot be successfully accomplished overnight. It takes years, it sometimes takes decades to do that. And that is important also to know, because we get from there our comfort that we are not asked that we can get hold of the final insight into Christian Science just in one step. Therefore, it is also interesting to see that if we have a knowledge of these various revisions and the spiritual steps taken by it, that it is also a practical point for our own life and for the development of our own life. And it is practical because they show that from step to step something new has been seen, some undiscovered error has been uncovered, and so in this way, if we know the history, we are not so much in danger to repeat the errors of the past. Therefore, in this way, I also would like to impress on you the fact that historical developments are interesting to see, especially when it is related to the idea and not so much to people, say, like Mrs. Eddy's own life, though that was always a reflection of what was going on in being when life, truth, and love impelled on Mrs. Eddy's life, the tone of mind. Then she felt it in her everyday life. When it impelled the tone of spirit, she also felt it in everyday life, because the experiences that she made in life were then showing her what would be the next spiritual step. Also, we can consult Mrs. Eddy in regard to the necessity of studying the history of the idea of Christian Science. When she brought out that most important sixth revision in the year 1891, you know, it was the 50th edition, then she put an article into the journal, and in this article was stated, namely, that they are asking the students to buy this new edition, but she said at the same time, keep the earlier editions. Keep them all. She said, because they are a treasure trove. The older editions are a treasure trove. Not only the new edition is a treasure trove. She said, compare the new edition with the former one. And the contrast will help you in understanding the new one. You see, she knew that method of understanding, that by differentiation we understand better what has to be understood. So that each revision represents a higher and clearer understanding. But we also must keep in mind that these earlier editions are only of interest to us in order to see where we are today, not to make the same mistake of yesterday, but not to take them as our teaching material. That would be wrong, because already, as late as 1908, Mrs. Eddy would state, what I wrote on Christian Science some 25 years ago, I do not consider a precedent for a present student of the science. And so she asked that we should study always the latest edition, which is the 1910 edition. So we have to be clear about the difference between seeing the history of the revisions of the textbook for the sake of seeing the differences and therefore the steps that have been taken spiritually, and all the steps that had then been taken parallel in human life. That's one thing. And the other thing is that we take the final edition as the groundwork for study and for discovering the science of Christian Science. So please make that distinction, and don't think that now you have to study all the older editions and that you will learn there the science of Christian Science. No, just the other way around. She says, what I have written before 25 years ago is no precedent for the present student. Meaning also that things that she has been writing in earlier times and which are published then in the various books like miscellaneous writing, like miscellany and other books from her, the prose work as a whole, is not really a basis on which we can build the understanding of the science of Christian Science. You can't get it out from the prose work. It's Science and Health that is the textbook. Prose work is not the textbook. But it is a great help to see the various aspects that have been developing over this period. And what I want to do is to bring out those various aspects that are necessary in order to build up in our consciousness an ordered understanding of what we actually have today. And then only can we value what we have today with the last edition. Or else we think, as many people say, that the first edition was the most inspired edition, and that was the pure revelation, and that in the first edition was really the real revelation, and that afterwards Mrs. Eddy has watered it down or diluted it or made it more complicated and more scientific, and I don't know what the arguments are. This is not so. The first edition is a wonderful edition, edition which gives the revelation full of effulgence of light, but without system, without science in it. No systematic presentation of the subject. And therefore I want to show the step-by-step development from the first edition up to the last edition, and we will see something very, very interesting. And I'm not going to say it what that very, very interesting thing is right away, but we'll find it out within 2 hours. So, how would we approach this terrific subject? And I must say, in all honesty, that what I present as this development through the 7th main edition is something that I would have liked to investigate closer than I did, but the job is so terrific to take a textbook of 500-600 pages and compare them edition by edition and by edition, that is practically impossible if you have other things to do than that. And also had to practice Christian Science, one had to teach Christian Science, one had to investigate the last edition to find the science of Christian Science. So it isn't so. I must say that in all honesty that I could prove my statements to the last detail. But I'm pretty sure, knowing that I have the tonality of the 7th synonymous term, that I'm pretty sure that what I'm stating is right. If it's not 100% right, then it may be 95% right, but that's quite a lot. So let us consider this this subject. How would we approach it? Naturally, you have to know the final edition and the structure of the final edition, or you have no standard according to which we can measure what the other editions have, what they lack, and etc. Therefore, we must ask ourselves by reading the early edition, what is radically new in a preceding, in a succeeding edition? What has been left out of the preceding edition, in the old edition, so that through that difference, what is new and what has been cut out, one begins to see already the difference. Why has something been cut out and left out? Apparently it was not so important, or apparently it was not quite right. Why has a new text come in? Apparently because that was necessary to explain much clearer what has not been explained very clear in the preceding edition. So we have to go through this through the textbook, find out those differences, and those differences then define the standpoint and the tonality of every edition. Now, what I present here has never been presented, though it is at this place I want to give honor to Alice Orgain. Alice Orgain, during the time of World War II, was doing a terrific job by doing exactly this, what I said before. She compared edition with edition with edition in a very minute way, but there is some weakness in that analysis, namely, she didn't know the structure of the textbook. So, not knowing the structure of the textbook, she didn't quite see how or know how to compare the earlier edition, and therefore she put all the accent of comparison on biblical symbolism. She was very hot, so to say, on biblical symbolism and showed how from revision to revision Mrs. Eddy would change the symbolism. The symbolism in the textbook, the symbolism in the other writings, that mostly her symbolism were the 12 tribes of Israel. The symbolism was the manhood and womanhood, the fatherhood and motherhood of God. It was mostly those symbols that were related to the Bible. And not so much, though also it was included, not so much really what had to do with scientific statements that were new. She here and there had isolated sentences that she could find out that were of great importance in a new edition, but naturally she couldn't make a proper analysis of it because she didn't know the system. So here we present something that up to now has never been presented, namely how the idea of the science of Christian Science evolved in Mrs. Eddy's consciousness. So as finally in the last edition she could state that science of Christian Science, even perhaps not knowing what that system is, but she was a transparent window pane that was clean enough so that the idea of science could shine through, and she was obedient enough and to be a scribe under order that would bring out the science of Christian Science. What then is therefore the guiding criterion for the analysis? The guiding criterion is structure recognition. If the last edition is now seen as a structure of ideas, therefore a structure of categories, therefore we would have to see how that structure was evolving through the main editions. And so we can see, focus, so to say, our understanding of her structure recognition, which is most interesting to compare. Namely, it is interesting, and I can take that already now, to see that at the beginning in the first edition, there is actually only one chapter that has any similarity with the last edition. Only one, and that was marriage, the chapter on marriage. That already had somehow a greater similarity with the last edition. No other chapter in the first edition had any similarity with the last edition. So all the other chapters underwent great changes, and you could also see, because there were only 8 chapters at the beginning, there was a great development from edition to edition by adding new chapters, by rearranging chapters. And so we can see something that actually that what was Mrs. Eddy was seeking, knowingly or unknowingly, that doesn't matter, but dictated really by being, is that she was trying to bring out the structure of her revelation. Her first edition is a terrific revelation that is completely unstructured. but it is a great effulgence of light and a breaking in of the one big truth that was so powerful that it for her not even needed a science in order to explain it. It was the atmosphere of divine science which she felt at that point, but she could not explain it because she didn't see the structure of it. But the textbook must be a book that does not just give a revelation, but that must give really the way how to understand that revelation, or it isn't a textbook. It is just a book of revelation, of inspiration, and so on. So what we will see is that from revision to revision, she is feeling out more and more the structure of each chapter and finally of the textbook. When I see she is feeling out, then I say something which may not be right, because she herself was not feeling out. She was under the impulsion of the signs of God to bring it out. She was a scribe under order. So what is interesting to see, as I said, was really to see that the development from revision to revision is a development of seeing structure. Seeing structure, and the interesting thing is that the first thing she began to see or write down was always the overall structure that first was put into proper categories, and then only the subtones in it. So that we have, from top down evolution of the structure of the textbook. So that first the big lines, the big categories and big frame of reference in a chapter was brought out, and not so much the details of it. Can you see that behind that movement must have been a guiding principle that was seeing something about this terrific revelation of a scientific presentation of being. What we will see also is interesting, namely that those chapters that we have now in the final edition, who are teaching really the system of it, like the chapter on recapitulation or the platform or Genesis, these were the chapters that first got the final structure in the revisions. These were the first ones, then afterwards in the second, third, and so on revision, that were brought out practically, not completely in the final form, but already in the form that one can see the similarity of the chapters.